All right, well, good morning, and welcome to the start of a brand new series that we are calling Character Sketches. Really excited about that. I'm going to explain it in just a bit. But this morning, as we start off, in honor of Mother's Day, I thought I'd share a little article that I ran across this week, just to provide some laughs for all the moms in the room. And it was called, the article was called, A Mother's Dictionary. And what it did is it helped redefine some terms from a mother's perspective. You guys ever seen one of those before? Y'all ready for some fun stuff today? All right, take a look at the screen. The first one is a dumb waiter. Dumb waiter. If you don't know what that actually is, it is a little elevator that goes in people's houses to carry like food between floors. It is a thing that exists. But for a mom, it's different. For a mom, a dumb waiter is one who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. No, not okay. Not okay, waiter. Feedback. For a mom, feedback is the inevitable result when the baby does not appreciate the strained carrots. Ooh. Full name. What you call your child when you're mad at him. Anybody? You know that's true. Come on now. Joseph Wellington Adams III. Do you guys know that was my full name? I heard that one quite often as a child. Not good. Grandparents, the people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure you're not raising them right. Hearsay, what toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. It's over. Like, they may not repeat anything else you say, but that word, they got it down. Independent, how we want our children to be as long as they're doing everything we say. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. Puddle, a small body of water that draws other small bodies with dry shoes into it. Yep, you've seen that. This is one of my favorites. Show off, any child who is more talented than yours. Just showing off. Sterilize. What you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it in water, and what you do to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it and wiping it with saliva. That's pretty good. I think we're good. Here you go, child. Come on, moms. You know that's true. That's how that works. Top bunk, where you should never put a child wearing Superman pajamas. Recipe for disaster right there. 2-minute warning. When the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. I should just take that one. That's a bad image. Last one. Here you go. You ready? Who done it? Clearly nobody in your house. Obviously. Oh, man. I love this. This is fun. It's a good day. Mother's Day. We celebrate you, moms. And this morning, we are starting this brand new series, as I mentioned before, called Character Sketches. And what we're going to do is over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at the life of a different person in Scripture each Sunday to see what kind of important lessons we can gather from them, what kind of life lessons we can glean from their lives and their experiences. And I thought since today is Mother's Day, it would be appropriate if we were to look at perhaps the most famous mother in history. Who is that? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Like, seriously, can you even imagine being the mom to the Son of God? The pressure. That would be crazy to me. Did you know that Mary and Joseph actually lost Jesus one time? Do you guys know? Like, that's in the Bible. They actually left him behind on their way back from this vacation that they had taken. They left him there. Parents, let's be honest right now. Anybody ever accidentally left a child behind? You know, you start driving away and you realize that they are not in the car where they were supposed to be. Well, don't feel too bad. Mary and Joseph lost the Son of God. And the worst part about it is that it took them an entire day to even realize they had left him behind. And get this, it took them 2 more days to even find him. Jesus was lost for 3 days. Like, can you even imagine the conversation that Mary and Joseph must have had when they realized that Jesus was gone? In my mind, I just imagine Joseph being like, Mary, where's Jesus? She's like, Joseph, what do you mean, where's Jesus? I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. Oh, no. Jesus. And Mary's like, Joseph, what? Should we pray? Should we ask God about it? Joseph's like, are you crazy, woman? You want to tell God we lost his son? No. Like, we just need to go find him right now. And so they start heading back to Jerusalem, like, trying to find this child. And like, a day later, they still haven't found him. They're going, oh, no. What? Mary's like, Joseph, we got to pray. I don't want to pray. You need to pray. Fine, I'll pray. I just imagine Joseph praying something like, oh, God, gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, God. So, you remember that Messiah you lent us? Any chance you have another one of those? Oh, no, he's the only begotten son. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. It was Mary's fault. Oh, that's crazy. I'm just having some fun here. Full disclosure, I did kind of steal that last part from a comedian, so not that good. But you know what? The truth is, I haven't heard a lot of messages on Mary. And I think many Protestant churches have really swung away from talking too much about her in reaction to the beliefs, some teachings that some traditions hold that Mary is holy or that she's divine or sinless in some way. And the truth is, that's just not biblical. That's just not true biblically. In fact, we're going to see in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, that Mary rejoices in God, her Savior. Who needs a Savior? People who need saving. What does she need saving from? Her sin, just like anybody else. So she's not this holy person, but I don't want to swing all the way on the other side of the pendulum and ignore what we can learn from her life. I think there's some really valuable things, some really important lessons that we can take away from her life and the experiences that she had. The truth is, Mary was an ordinary young woman whom God chose to use for an extraordinary purpose. What I really want you all to get this morning is that God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. I'm going to say that one more time. If you're taking notes, you can begin to fill this in the blank. God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God. I want him to work in me and through me to make a difference that matters. And I believe that there are some things that we can learn from Mary today, that we can be intentional about applying in our own lives in order to posture ourselves, in other words, to position ourselves to be used by God. Anybody want to be used by God this morning? Come on, this is going to be good for us today. So let's jump in to the story of Mary this morning. We're going to start, if you got your Bibles with you, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And if not, don't worry, we're going to have it on the screen for you as well. So verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now think about this for a second. Here Mary was, minding her own business, preparing for her wedding day. She's betrothed, like they're engaged. They're getting ready to be married. And out of nowhere, the angel of God comes in, disrupts her life, and changes everything. Mary was making plans, guys. You guys know how young ladies are when they're preparing for their wedding day, right? You know. How young ladies can be prepping, man. Mary, you know what Mary's doing, man? She's been dreaming about this thing since she was a kid. She's had these plans all in line. She's working on finding the right venue, going to all these different places around Jerusalem, trying to find the right garden. She's been testing the food from all the different vendors. Oh, that falafel isn't good enough. We got to go find this one. She's taste testing this food, trying on these different dresses. Her mom's making like 15 of them just to try on the different ones, trying to decide if Uncle Billy can sit next to his ex-wife at the reception, or is that going to cause too much? You guys know what I'm talking about. Like, and the whole time she's walking around like, oh, hi. Yeah, so I'm getting ready for this marriage thing coming up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, did you see this? This is my... No? Like half of you guys, you know you did that. Just, yep. So she's preparing. She's excited. Man, this is one of the biggest days in her life. And then the angel Gabriel shows up and says, hey, God wants to use you for something. Never mind all this other stuff you got going on. Don't worry about all this other trivial stuff. God wants to use you for something. How many of you know that God is the king of disruptions and interruptions in our life? That is a fact. You will experience that. I once heard a pastor say, hey, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Because he's going to do exactly what he has planned to do, exactly what he wants to do. And this one's for free for you this morning. It's not in your notes. But if you want to be used by God, just be ready for him to come when you least expect it. Just know that he's going to show up when you're not even looking for it. And let's be ready for him in that moment. So the story continues in verse 28. It says, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. If you're taking notes this morning, the first thing that I want to point out to you about Mary is that Mary was favored. This is significant. God has extended his favor to her. He chose to bless her and bestow his favor upon her, not because she was the wealthiest, not because she had the right pedigree or came from the most prestigious and influential family in the tribe of Judah. None of that's true. If you were just to look at Mary, she was just a young woman. There's nothing spectacular about her, but she found favor with God, I believe, because she had postured herself in such a way that she could be used by him. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to continue to look at Mary's life and identify some unique ways that she had postured herself that God was able to use her. And I think those are the very things that we can begin to apply in our own lives as well. You know, one of the things I love about God is that he doesn't look at what everybody else looks at. When we look at people, man, we see, man, are they strong? Are they capable? Do they have the right abilities? Are they influential? God doesn't look at what everybody else looks at. He doesn't care how much money you have in your bank account. He doesn't care who your parents are. He doesn't care where you were born. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. That's how he works. The Lord looks at the heart. In fact, when Samuel was getting ready to anoint the next king of Israel after Saul, he knew that he was supposed to go to the family of Jesse. Jesse had a bunch of sons. The youngest one was David, who we know became King David. But Samuel went to the house and he saw the oldest son, David's oldest brother, and said, surely this is the one that the Lord has chosen. And this is what God said to him in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. He said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, which says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to bring strong support, to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. That's a strong verse. That's a powerful verse. Look at that. Anybody want God's strong support in your life? Man, he is searching for people who are following him, who are surrendered to him, who are saying, God, I want you. Would you use me? I believe the favor of God is one of the most valuable things in the world. And we are so unworthy of it. Yet God bestows it upon us in his grace and mercy. I hope you understand this morning that if you are a follower of Jesus, in other words, if you have received the forgiveness of your sins through faith in him, you've believed in Jesus and what he's done for you, then God has extended his favor upon you. You didn't earn it. He bestowed it upon you. In fact, the Greek word for favor is charin, charin. And it comes from the root word of the Greek word for grace, which is charis. So we have charis, grace, and charin, favor. You guys see that? I love that. That picture, the word used for favor here in Luke chapter 1, charin. What's going on here is this favor is extended by God out of his grace and out of his mercy. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. He extends it. He bestows it upon us. But I also believe that we can grow in his favor. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and man." And I believe that we can grow in the favor of God. And I believe that there are things that we can do to posture ourselves. That's a key word for this message. To position ourselves so that God will bless us and extend his favor towards us. You guys with me this morning? I heard my pastor say many years ago that he prays for three things every single morning. Number one, to be filled with the Spirit. Number two, for wisdom. And number three, for favor with both God and man. Ever since I heard him say that many, many years ago, I've done the same thing in my life. God, would you fill me with your Spirit this morning? And would you give me wisdom to make the right decisions, to lead me, to help me be the right, a good father and a great leader? God, would you fill me and bless me with your favor today? May I walk in your favor. Why do I pray that? Because life is so much better when God is working on our behalf. So much better. And for the rest of this message, I want to talk about ways that we can position ourselves for God to use us. And I believe that when we do that, his favor will increase in our lives. So Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the story continues. And he had just told Mary, "Don't be afraid, for you found favor with God." And the angel Gabriel said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." It's powerful. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" That's a fair question. How is this going to happen? And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Watch this, verse 37. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Whew. That's the key. This is huge. What is impossible with man is not impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for him. And what I think we need to realize this morning is that the things that God has called us to do are impossible for us. I need you to hear that. The things that God has called you to do, the calling he has placed on your life, is impossible for you. That's why we need him. He told Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Church, we need the Spirit of God to work in us and through us so that we can fulfill the call he's placed on our lives. Why? Because nothing is impossible for him. You guys see that today? Nothing's impossible. And then I love Mary's response. And I want to camp out on this one verse for just a bit. And Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. First thing I want to point out about Mary that's important for us today is that Mary was willing. If you're taking notes, you'll write that in. Mary was willing. Listen, God isn't looking for someone with all the skills. He's looking for those who are willing. He's looking for those who will trust him. God isn't looking for ability. He is looking for availability. Availability is so much more important than ability. In Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11, the psalmist said this. He said, his pleasure, talking about God, his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. In other words, God is not impressed by our abilities. We don't impress him by the things that we can do. God is looking for people who trust him. He's looking for people who are willing, for people who believe that he can do what he says that he's going to do. Let me ask you this morning. Do you desire to be used by God more than you desire your own plans and your own goals? Are you willing to make yourself available to God, even if it means doing something you didn't plan to do? Going somewhere you hadn't planned to go. Giving up things you already planned to accomplish. Are you willing? And let me remind you, it doesn't matter if you feel qualified. You're sitting here saying, yeah, Joe, I'd love to be used by God, but he can't use me. No, that's not how it works. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Anybody heard that before? Man, that's so true. He calls you and then equips you to fulfill the purpose on your life. Why? Because nothing is impossible for him. He can do all things. When he calls you, let me ask you this. How are you going to respond? Mary was willing. Let's be willing in our lives too. Second thing that this verse communicates, which I think is pretty significant, is that Mary had a little lamb. I'm just kidding. That's pretty funny, isn't it? Somebody told me that when they saw the sermon notes. I said, I'm throwing that in there. That's hilarious. That's not actually what it's supposed to be. All right, back, bring it back in. See, I'm rowing my boat. That's terrible. Mary had courage. Mary had courage. You know, at first, this favor from God sounds like an incredible blessing. But the truth is, it came at a great cost. That's the reality. Why? Because this means Mary would be pregnant outside of marriage, which is a big deal, especially in this time. In fact, the Mosaic law at the time said that if somebody got pregnant outside of marriage, you know what they would do to them? They would stone them. They would throw rocks at them until they died. That doesn't sound very pleasant. And Mary would have known what others would have thought of her. As soon as she started showing what her friends would think, man, the disgrace that she must have. And who would actually believe a young girl that said God made her pregnant? Even Joseph, her betrothed, did not believe her. In fact, he was going to plan to end their engagement until an angel appeared to him too and said, hey, no, this is of God. This is good. We're good. This is of God. You don't have anything to worry. Listen, if a daughter of mine came to me with a big old pregnant belly and said, Daddy, God did this to me, I'd say, woman, you are lying to me. Who's going to believe that? But Mary took that on. She had the courage to say, okay, God, whatever this means, I'm willing. And in her act of surrender, Mary offered her life as a living sacrifice. We talked about that last week. She surrendered everything to her. She was willing to be used by God for his purpose, willing to endure the loss of reputation that was certain to follow when people realized she was with child. She was willing to endure the ridicule and even the possible stoning permitted by the Mosaic law. Ladies, you'll identify with this one. She was willing to go through 9 months of increasing discomfort and sleeplessness, willing to endure the labor pains of giving birth to a child. Mary was willing to give up her own plans and her agenda, her wedding day, so that she might link arms with God in fulfilling his agenda. She had the courage to say yes in spite of the costs. And the truth is, there is always a cost involved in being used by God. There's always going to be a cost, and it may look different for different people. For some, it may be a cost of reputation. It may mean losing certain friendships. It might mean standing up for what is right even if it costs you your job. For some people, it means sacrificing the comforts of this world to fulfill the purposes of God. And for others, literally, the cost is their life. And they will give up their life to fulfill the purpose of God for them. Church, I think we need courage to be able to count the cost and say yes anyway. So you guys see this? Number one, Mary was willing. Number two, Mary had courage. The third thing I want to point out that I believe Mary did to posture herself to be used by God is that Mary had faith. Mary had faith. If you read the beginning part of Luke chapter 1, you'll see that the angel Gabriel actually appeared to somebody before he appeared to Mary. He appeared to a guy named Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's father. And Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had been trying to get pregnant for a very long time, and it was not working. So the angel Gabriel came to him and told him that he was going to have a son, but Zechariah doubted the word. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 18, it says, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Guys, how many of you know it's a good thing that his wife didn't hear him say that? Verse 19, the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Zechariah doubted. And then Mary, the same angel, appeared to him, said a very similar word, and know what she did? She believed. She believed the word that came from God. She had faith that God could do it. Even though it was impossible, she believed that God could do anything. All she did was ask God, "How's he going to do it?" He said, "No, that's not possible." She said, "Well, how are you going to do this for me?" And in fact, in Luke chapter 1, verse 45, so the angel Gabriel brings this message to Mary. And then she goes, as soon as the angel left and departed from her, she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. And she walks into the house, and the baby within Elizabeth leaped for joy, filled with the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth began to pray and to prophesy and to speak blessing over Mary. And in verse 45, she blessed her and said, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Church, God is calling us to trust him, to believe that nothing is impossible for him, to not doubt that he will fulfill the things that he said he would do. That God is who he says he is and will do all that he says he will do, regardless of what our circumstances may lead us to believe. Regardless of how bleak the situation is that we may find ourselves in. We need to have faith that God can do anything. And the last thing about Mary that I want to point out is that Mary was humble. It goes on to say in verse 46, after Elizabeth had just blessed Mary, spoken this life-giving word over her, Mary rejoices to God. She begins to pray to God. And it says in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And she went on to say in verse 56, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." Man, she had humility. And I believe humility is such an important quality that we need in our own lives and should not be overlooked. You may have heard it said this way, and I'd like to reemphasize this definition of humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's the kind of quality that recognizes that everything you have has been given to you by God. You do realize that, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says this. He says, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? You know what Paul's saying? Why are you going around boasting about the things that you're doing as if they came from you? as if you did them in your own strength. Everything you have has come from God. We need to recognize that. You're saying, no, Joe, you don't understand, man. I've worked hard for this promotion. Joe, you don't understand the blood, the sweat, and tears that I put in this. Man, I put everything into this. I developed my skills. I developed my talents. I worked hard for this thing. Can I tell you something this morning, church? You would not even have the drive or the desire or the capacity to work hard if God didn't put it in you in the first place. Your personality that makes you an achiever, that makes you go above and beyond to get things accomplished, guess where that came from? It came from God. Everything we have comes from Him. And humility is not weakness. I think in our society, oftentimes they view humility as weakness. It's not. Humility is strength. It's being secure enough to not need the praise of man. It's having the self-awareness to know that you don't have it all figured out. To be able to say, you know, I'm not really as great as people say that I am, and I couldn't do this apart from God and really be okay with it. That's humility. And let's not make the mistake to think that being humble means you can't be confident either. The two are not diametrically opposed to one another. In fact, humble confidence is one of the traits that I respect most in other people. When they are confident in who God has called them to be, humble in knowing that it could not be possible without Him. Secure people are humble people. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, it says, "These are the ones I look on with favor." This is God speaking to the prophet Isaiah. "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word." In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Guys, I don't want to put myself in a position where God is opposing me. Life is difficult enough as it is. Why would I walk around with pride and cause God to be in opposition to me? Man, we need to humble ourselves. True humility recognizes our proper position before God. It recognizes that we are unworthy of His grace, unworthy of His blessing and His favor, unworthy of His love, that everything we have has been given to us by Him. And here's the thing about humility. Watch this. It allows God to get the glory in our lives. So humility, what it does is it postures us to be used by Him, not for our reputations, but for His. You guys see that? So let me finish with this. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's who He uses. And I believe that God wants to use you. And I believe that He wants to use this church to make a difference in our city and to the ends of the earth. I believe that at the core of who I am. That's why we're here. Guys, what we do on Sunday mornings, this isn't all we do. This isn't even the biggest thing that we do. I think the most important thing we do is help you discover the call that God has placed on your life and then equip you and empower you to begin to walk in it. That's what Next Step is all about on Sunday afternoons. That's why we announce it every single week, because we want to see you living the life that God has called you to live, walking in all that He has placed on your lives. Man, it's an amazing thing. So I think we should take some pointers from Mary this morning. I think number one, that we should ask for God's favor. He bestows it on whom He wills. I don't know about you, but I'm asking for God. Lord, give me Your favor. Would You bless me with Your favor? And then I think we need to posture ourselves to be used by God, to be willing to do what He calls us to do, whatever the cost may be. To have the courage to say yes, regardless of the cost. To have the faith to believe that God can do the impossible. And then to walk in humility all along the way, understanding that this is God's work and God's alone. He's just choosing to use us to accomplish it. What an amazing privilege that is. Can I pray for you guys this morning? Well, Father, I thank you for every single person in this room. God, that you love them, that you're for them. God, that you have a calling upon their lives. God, I thank you that you have a purpose for every single person seated in this auditorium right now. And Lord, we ask that you would reveal it. God, that you would bring them into it. And Lord, would you help us to become the kind of people that you can use to do the impossible. Lord, we're here saying we're willing. God, we surrender to you. Use us. Have your way in us. Work in us for the glory of your name.